And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Many people have asked me, Tex, where is the source of America's problems? What is the defining illuminist activity that has kept Americans in a straitjacket for so many years now? I have been wanting to talk about the subject that we'll be discussing today for a long time. And I really ask the Lord to give me insight so I could pass on to you today. Now, I want to tell you something right up front. I am an American, and I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be an American patriot. I believe in the Constitution of the United States, and especially its Bill of Rights. I'm a small-town American, but I don't mind big cities. I've lived in cities small and large. But I came from small-town America. I came from poor small-town America, poverty. I've lived, even as a young boy, I lived in cities such as Beaumont, Texas, Houston, Texas, and I lived in the rough sides of town. I lived, if you knew Beaumont, Texas, if you knew where this was when I told you that for a long time, I lived in a duplex apartment on Railroad Avenue. I think you'd understand. That's a road that the train track goes right down the middle of, and there your little duplex is. And I often said, and I this really was not in jest exactly, because it was pretty true, that for sport, we didn't have any games and things like that when I was a young boy. We couldn't afford games. In fact, I couldn't play in the Little League because I didn't have any baseball bat or glove or anything. But I guess the biggest sport we had was searching out cockroaches and mice and rats and making war on them. And we didn't always have a bed to sleep on, so a lot of times I slept on the floor and, you know, trying to build a wall all around me of stuff to try to keep out the cockroaches. And I mean the big Texas brand, about an inch and a half long, that would climb all over you at night. And that was my life, dear friends. By the way, I remember in Beaumont, Texas, I lived right across as a young boy of 10, 11 years old, lived right across from the liquor store. A lot of times my little sister, and she was 4 years younger than me, so she was only 7, I was 11. We'd play in front of that liquor store and see the people going out and in. And so how we stayed alive, I don't know, but we did. In Houston, Texas, this was before the Mexican invasion. I remember living in on La Branch Street. I don't know anything about La Branch Street today, but I know back then, I think I was only one of two kids in my class, and I think it was in the fifth grade. Had about 34 kids in class. They were all Mexican except me and one other young girl. The whole school was Mexican. Almost everybody was Mexican. And we'd play touch football after school and on weekends there in the schoolyard, which was right across from the ghetto tenement building that I lived in. And I played with all Mexicans, and they liked me. They said, boy, this guy's tough. Give him the football, and he runs right into people. He's a bull. He's tough. And all the Mexican kids liked me. I was the gringo kid, the white kid that was tough. You know, give him the ball. Boy, he'll knock you out. He's tough. He doesn't try to run around people. He tries to run over them. They laughed about it. They thought it was great because that's the kind of folks they were. They were tough kids, Mexican kids. They had switchblade knives. And, you know, they didn't mind using them. And that was the life that I had as a young man. Now, I'm only telling you this so you understand where I come from. I believe in America. I believe in opportunity. I joined the Air Force. I was the first of six kids, four older than me, to even finish high school. Then I went in the Air Force right out of high school. And thanks to Uncle Sam, I'll have to say, and thanks to the U.S. Air Force, I was able not only to get a bachelor's degree and become an officer, every college hour being earned while I was in Air Force Blue, but I even went on to get a master's degree and beyond in the Air Force. And I taught 5 years at the University of Texas besides, went all over the world, traveled and spent a lot of time looking at things like architecture. That's why I wrote my new book, Mysterious Monuments, architecture and temples from Thailand and Vietnam to Okinawa, Japan, over into every country in Europe, and of course throughout the United States, observing very carefully the cultures of those countries, comparing them to the United States, and even their architecture and religions. So this is where I come from, dear friends, and I want you to understand this. I earned a bachelor's degree, summa cum laude. That means you graduated with a 4.0 straight A average in college and received the award as the most outstanding student in the political science department when I graduated. Then I went on to get a degree in adult and community college education at North Carolina State University. So I have a lot of diverse experience. I've never been taught to be prejudiced against anybody. In fact, my dad always taught me that one of the worst things a person can do is to make a prejudgment against a man. Whether they're white or black or brown, it doesn't matter. And that was one of the things that he was very careful to teach me. And you have to understand the importance of that because my dad had all of a third grade education. But you know, you don't need a third grade education to be fair and to be just and to tell the truth. And that was another thing he taught me, to be honest. There was only one time I ever lied to my dad. And I mentioned on the air, I'm not going to tell you again about it today, but I believe it happened when I was 17 years old. He caught me in the lie. My dad set me down and he said, son, I want you to tell me the truth about this particular thing. Wasn't a gigantic thing, but I had lied to him just to get out of a little bit of a predicament I was in. And knowing I was caught, I went ahead and told the truth then. He said, but that's not the first story you told me. I said, no, sir. He said, so you didn't tell me the truth the first time. I said, no, sir. And he looked at me and he said, I'm disappointed. And he walked away. He was disappointed. Did he hit me? No. Did he beat me? No. Did he take away anything from me? No. He just said, I'm disappointed. Well, friends, you could have put a load of bricks on my head. You could. He cut me off at the knee by saying, I'm disappointed. Well, that was the last time I ever told a fib to my dad, let me tell you that. Taught me a lesson because I wanted my dad to think the most of me because I thought the most of my father. Well, I tell you that because I'm going to tell you the truth today about what is plaguing America. It's a prophetic thing. It's a strange domination of America. So I want to tell you from my heart, I'm not here to take advantage. What I'm going to tell you today cost me every day in this ministry. It cost me in this ministry. There are people out there branding me as a hater, as anti-Semitic, and all these names they call you, trying to diminish your reputation and your influence. Because I know there are many people who believe in Tex Mors and what I say. And just like my dad, I have a grave responsibility to tell the truth. And I'm going to tell the truth. And it actually cost me, and you'll see why. When you stand up for truth, friends, it is not profitable except in your heart. You gain a great blessing from telling the truth, but it costs you financially, reputation, and all kind of other ways. And you're blasted by the liars and by those who have a vested interest in maintaining the lie. It always is true. Wherever you are in society, friends, you stand up in your community, in your neighborhood, at church, among your friends, some of your best friends. If you stand for what's right, I promise you, there will be bitter opposition against you. And you will have to pay a price. That's the way it's always been. Truth tellers always have to pay the price. But the reward is great. What reward is that? The satisfaction of knowing you're an honest man or woman. The satisfaction of knowing you're pleasing God even as you're making men angry at you. So you're going to have to make a choice. I made my choice, and that's the way it is. What's plaguing America, friends? I want to tell you we're under a strange denomination, and today I want to talk about eight pillars. That's right, eight pillars. I'm going to go over each one of them. Eight pillars that will enlighten you about the organization that is dominating America and wielding such fantastic satanic powers, miracle-working powers almost. And if left to their own devices, this group, and I want to call them today, I want to be very blunt about it. I call it the Zionist Occupational Government, ZOG. And I'm not the first to coin that phrase. It's been around a while. I don't know who coined it, but it's accurate. We are occupied in America by a small parasitic minority. No more than 2% of the population of this great nation, 2.5% at the most, are Jews. And many of them don't even really know what's going on themselves. So of the 2.5% who are Jews in America, they're probably only 0.5% that are really part of this Zionist juggernaut that faces us and is deceiving us. But regrettably, most of the other Jews, and there's some total of around 7 million to 7.5 million Jews in America, according to demographers, most of them have been flattered by lies, by being told they're superior to all other races and all other religions. And they have been persuaded through propaganda and racist indoctrination to favor Israel over America. So these men and women, even though they are American Jews and should be no different in their attitude than American people from Scotland or Ireland or Romania or Russia, or Pakistan, or England, or Germany. There should be no difference in their mind, but there is. They have been persuaded that they are citizens first of the fleshly nation of Israel in the Middle East, and Americans second. They have no love, most Jews, for America. Polls even show this. They don't care to participate in military service. They don't care to fight for America. They put their race, their physical nation of Israel first. Now, you can be an Italian-American, but you don't put Italy first. You can be a German-American, you don't put Germany first. You can be Mexican-American, but this country, the United States, comes first in your life. But if you're a Jew, I'm telling you right now, 98% of all Jews will put Israel first every time over America. Even though they're born here, even though they've been rewarded, even though Jews as a whole in America, research it for yourself. They're in the highest income rungs on the ladder, the highest socioeconomic rungs on the ladder. They have more education, more money, more shares of stock, more in their banking accounts, higher paying jobs than other Americans. And nevertheless, they turn their back on America and put Israel first every time over America's interest. Not all Jews do this, but the majority do. Even the ones who don't understand about the Zionist conspiracy, they too even put Israel first. So some people say to me, well, are you impugning all Jews? Never say all. I am impugning, though, most Jews. Because the ones who are not Zionist evil men and women are nevertheless flattered by those psychopathic leaders. Even the Bible says in the book of Daniel, the Antichrist will win his kingdom through flattery. Flattery. They're flattered beyond belief by being told you're God's chosen people and you can plunder and rob and steal and cheat the Gentiles. And they've been led to believe this. Even their own holy book, the Talmud, tells them this. My Christian Bible doesn't tell me that. It doesn't say, Tex, if you're a Scotchman or you're Irish, you're superior to other people. It doesn't tell me that in my Bible. Who does Jesus favor? I'll tell you who he favored. He said, whosoever will may come. Who's in that category? Everybody. Well, you see, Tex, Abraham's the father of the nation of Israel, so that's why they're superior to us. That's what the Judaizers tell me, but wait! You're a liar! I read the book of Genesis. Haven't you read it? It says that Abraham, God told Abraham, you will be a father of many nations. How many? Many, not just one. Somebody's got this mixed up, and it's the Christian evangelicals and the Judaizers and the Jews. Galatians 3, verse 29, right after being told in verse 28 that God is no respecter of persons, and that all races qualify for his kingdom. That's right, that's what it says. Galatians 3, 29th verse says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Every promise given Abraham is inherited by every man and woman who believe in Jesus of whatever race. If you're a Chinese, if you're a Pakistani, if you're a Canadian, if you're a Ukrainian, if you're a Georgian, if you're an Iranian, and you belong to Jesus Christ, you have the promise of Abraham. You are God's chosen people. You say, Tex, even an Iraqi? Even a Cuban? Absolutely. God is no respecter of persons. That's where I stand. It is biblical. And if you don't believe it, well, just go somewhere else. Go listen to the Judaizers. They'll tell you the lie. They are racist. We are not. I don't believe in racism. I oppose it 100%. That's why I exposed the Jewish supremacist. I despise racist. That's the where I stand. Okay, now you know. Now let's go over these eight, these incredible eight pillars of Zog, America's Zionist occupational government. Here's their plan. Here's their agenda. Here's how they are going to take America and use it as their sock puppet to not only rule over the American people, but the whole world. But first, they must wield power in America. This is the nation, the superpower of the whole world. This is the beast that they will use to plunder and rob and destroy and set up their new order of the ages, which the Jews call Tikkun Olam, to revise, repair, take over the world. That is their goal of the Kabbalistic Jews. And they're going to use America as their instrument. We are Mystery Babylon the Great. They are the whore riding the beast. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Jews are the whore. America is the beast. Read Revelation 17 and you'll see what I mean. Number one, all of these are eight pillars, foundations, things they must do to maintain control of America and its people and then of the whole world. It starts here. We are the foundation of the whole globe. If they can win America and keep control of it and have their strange domination of our country, then every nation will topple to the Zionist. That's their ambition. That's their goal. Number one, to do that, the first pillar, is they must maintain United States dependency on foreign oil from the Middle East. You say, huh? Is that all? Yeah, that's the first pillar. Starts with that. We'll go with the other seven and as we go on here. They must maintain U.S. dependency on foreign oil and especially from the Middle East. Let me tell you why. Let me explain this to you. Very important. If there was no oil in the Middle East and America did not need it so desperately, then we would not be over there with our troops. We would not be fighting their wars. We would not care about a 7.5 million population nation called Israel in the Middle East. We wouldn't care about Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Hey, we don't interfere in the affairs of, you know, Madagascar in Africa. We don't interfere in the affairs of Peru. Well, sometimes we actually do, but we don't send tens of thousands of troops in those other countries, generally. But there's a reason why our president, our secretary of state, our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, our vice president, keep going back and forth to Israel like a bunch of sock puppets on a string. They don't visit Romania or Ireland, but they have to keep going back. Oh, yes, and there's always these Middle East problems. Every time you turn on the radio or the TV, they're talking about war or rumors of war in the Middle East, deaths in the Middle East, wars over oil, oil, oil. It's in Israel's interest to keep us dependent on oil from the Middle East, or else we wouldn't care about the Middle East. I mean, the communists are 90 miles from our shore in Cuba, and we haven't invaded since Fidel Castro took over in 59. So why did we invade Iraq? Why are over and over again we get involved in Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Iran? Why? Because we want that oil. You think we're in Afghanistan to save the people from the Taliban? Oh, get serious. We're there because we wanted to build a Union oil pipeline through that nation. And today there are two pipelines that we want them repaired, put back in operation. The second one we built, going from West Iraq over to the Mediterranean Ocean, and now we're selling billions of dollars of oil, and Israel's keeping all the money from Iraq. Oil, oil, oil. You don't fight countries that don't have oil. You don't care what they do. If Uruguay sticks up its nose at us, we don't care. Even Fidel Castro, what has he got? Sugar cane? We don't care about him. But we want that oil. And Israel wants to keep America dependent on that oil. And then we stay interested in the Middle East. We're there constantly, constantly. And the danger of World War III is always lurking because of oil. Now, you have to understand, Brazil, listen to me, and if you don't believe me, do some research. Check out the Brazilian national oil company named Petrogas. There is more oil in Brazil off the coast there in the Atlantic, Brazil in South America, than there is throughout the Middle East. But we're not using it. Mexico and the Gulf of Mexico has more oil than there is in all the Middle East, but we're not using it. Some of it, but not much of it. There's more oil in the Pacific off of our coastlands and in the Atlantic off of our coastlands than there is in the Middle East, but we're not drilling for it. And listen even to Governor Sarah Palin. She says, my state of Alaska has hundreds of thousands of acres of potential oil land, but nobody's drilling for it. The oil companies don't want to drill for oil. You say, Tex, that sounds impossible. I'm telling you the truth. The more oil they have, the less money they make. They want to keep the price up by keeping it scarce. Meanwhile, the Jewish lobby in America and Israel also want to keep us out of Alaska. Don't drill up there. Don't drill in the Gulf of Mexico. Don't go down to Brazil to get more oil. They're angry because we get 10% of our oil in America from Venezuela. That's right. We get more oil from Venezuela than we do from Saudi Arabia. They don't like that either. They'd like to cut that off by cutting off the head of Hugo Chavez, the president. The Jews hate him. So, the first pillar is keep America dependent on oil, and then we'll stay militarily involved in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. Second, their goal is to promote a Christian Judaizer and philosophy. A Christian Judaizer philosophy. Because it's a potent, militant force for Zionist political and economic objectives. Do you understand what I'm telling you? They're promoting Judaization of Christianity. Basically, they're promoting something that is an oxymoron, something called Judeo-Christianity. But there is no Judeo-Christianity because the first word, Judeo, means that they hate Jesus and in their holy book say that he's a bastard burning in hell. That's what the Jews in their holy book say. So there can be no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. Christianity is based on Jesus Christ and him alone. And the Jews say, no, we hate this Jesus. You can't mix up oil and water. God. There's no Islamo-Christianity. There's no Hindu Christianity, and there's no Judeo-Christianity. I can't stand it when a person says, I believe in our Judeo-Christian way of life. Say what? There is no Judeo-Christian way of life. The Jews are heathens, pagans, who despise Christ and everything Christianity stands for. Who's brainwashed and bewitched you, friend? And they're using these Christian evangelicals who they've been indoctrinating for over 100 years now. And now they finally replace Jesus with Israel. I hear preachers saying, if you don't support Israel, you're going to hell. What? They used to say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. Now they've changed it. It's if you don't believe in Israel and support it, you're going to hell. They've changed the gospel, the Judaizers. And this is one of the pillars of ZOG, the Zionist Occupational Government. And I'll be right back with the other 6 pillars of the 8 when we return. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and I'm your friend, Tex Mars. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. I have in my hands a book. It must weigh 10 pounds. It's a hardcover book. It's huge. It's the newest book by Michael Hoffman II. Michael Hoffman. Now, he's the researcher who was one of the first to put out a tremendous book exposing the Jewish Talmud, their holy book. And he explained exactly what it was all about. Well, he's done one better now. He has a book entitled Judaism Discovered. You know, very few people know what the religion of Judaism really stands for. Well, I tell you, when you get this book and you begin to read it, and it's an encyclopedia. It is an absolutely incredible book. It's based on painstaking research. And here's the incredible thing. This is the first time anyone, a Gentile that is, has ever taken the Jews' own holy book, the Talmud, line by line, and dissected it. This is forensic evidence, my friends. Line by line, you will discover what is in the Jewish Talmud, and also in the Jewish system of magic called the Kabbalah. You will know, if you read this book in very plain and simple language, what the Jews really believe. In fact, you will be better instructed than most Jews who go to the synagogue on Saturday. And you will be amazed. What do they teach secretly in the yeshivas, the Jewish schools? What do they teach in the Jewish seminaries? What are the rabbis studying? You'll know. You'll know what they think of you as a Gentile, what they believe about Christianity and Jesus Christ and the apostles, and you will become sick to your stomach. Sick to your stomach. You know, some years ago, I began to study the religion of Hinduism. And when I realized that they actually worshiped elephants, cows, and Hinduism, I was appalled. Sometimes there's a temple in India where they worship the rat. But there's also sex temples across India today. And they practice tantric sexual rites. They believe you can have sex with the goddess by having sex in the temples. They're sick. It's a sick religion, this Hinduism, with over 3 million gods and goddesses to worship. And of course, its despicable caste system with the untouchables and all of that. But studying Hinduism was nothing compared to my study of the Jews and their religion. Oh, they put on a nice religious front. Jesus called them whited sepulchers. In other words, they're like dead people painted over with white paint. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Can you take a dead body, blackened and smoldering in the grave, and put a coat of whitewash on it and say it's clean? Of course not. That's what the Jews do, Jesus said. He said the Jews go across the face of the earth just to make one disciple for Judaism. And Jesus said, and when they've made that disciple, he becomes twice the son of hell that they are. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Becoming a part of the Judaic, the Judaism religion, will make you twice the son of hell. My goodness. I'm passionate about this because I know the truth. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. This book has been banned. This book is being censored today. The largest internet book service in the world, Amazon.com, as far as I know, this is the only book that they refuse to carry. They carry every book, the worst pornographic books, even pedophile books, but they refuse to carry Judaism Discovered. Why? Because the Jews go insane knowing that Gentiles know what they're all about. They don't want you to know. But you've got to find out. You've got to find out why that Baptist pastor, that Assembly of God pastor, who are up there preaching to you that Christianity came out of Judaism, you've got to find out. No, that's not true. Moses had nothing to do with this trash. Elijah, Jeremiah, they were not of the Judaism faith. They were of God. the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament, has nothing to do with the Judaism religion. And Christians don't even know that. This is the worst religion in the world. It is the most evil, despicable, horrible, monstrous. I don't even have enough words to describe Judaism to you. But you know what? This is a hardcover book that is about 1,100 pages. 1,100 pages encyclopedia entitled Judaism Discovered. What the rabbis really believe in their own words. They cannot deny this. Did you know that Mr. Hoffman did not use one Gentile expert in this book? He said, I don't have to go to the Gentiles. I'll go to the Jews themselves and discover what Judaism really preaches and teaches. Friends, it will make you sick to your stomach because this book quotes the Jews themselves. It's all their teachings, their beliefs, their goals, their aims, their objectives. I think this is one of the most important books other than the Holy Bible ever published. Now, it's $45. And I know that's a lot of money, but this is like six books. I mean, it's huge. And it's a hardcover. It's over 1,100 pages. And it's based on many years of research by Michael Hoffman. You must have this book. $45. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $50. Get Judaism Discovered today. You can't get it on Amazon.com. You cannot get this new book at your bookstores. You just can't. Try. Go down to Barnes & Noble or Borders. Walden Books, B. Dalton. They don't have it. They will not order it for you. But we have it. We have it, and we'll give it to you. And until they burn us down, my friends, we're going to have this book for you. $50, that includes shipping and handling. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. During the work week now, 8 to 5:30 Central Time. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and it'll be there on the home page. Judaism Discovered. Boy. Judaism Discovered by Michael Hoffman. $50. You can send us $50. Money order, cash. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And ask for Judaism Discovered. And we move fast here. We get our books right out, the tapes, the CDs that you ask for. You know, I don't believe in this stuff. You know, give us 4 weeks to deliver. No, we'll get it right out to you. We work hard around here. We get those orders in. We process them. By the next day, they're going back to the shipping room, and we're moving stuff. We've got some people that love their jobs here, and they're passionate for the truth. And we're going to get these things right out to you. When you call us, by the way, on our toll-free number, the person's going to be friendly to you. They'll like to talk to you. That's the only kind of people we have working for us here. People who love the truth have a passion for helping and for service. We have a servant's heart, and we want to serve you. Okay, our toll-free number again, 1-800-234-9673 for Judaism Discovered, $50. And you won't regret it. I promise you that. All right, let's return to our regular program. We're examining the eight pillars of Zog, America's Zionist-occupied government, how they're wielding such influence and domination over America. This is strange domination. I've gone over the first two pillars. Now, pillar number three. The third pillar is the Jews are determined to dominate America's political agenda by manipulation of the populace. Here's how they do it. They use the powerful Jewish lobby, AIPAC, ADL, and other groups to punish or reward legislatures and legislators according to their loyalty to Zionist causes. Every congressman, every senator is watched and monitored carefully by the Zionist lobby. And those who oppose anything that Israel wants, they are opposed. Those congressmen and senators, they are opposed. And I may add, by the way, governors and state legislators as well, and all people in political office, they're watched, they're monitored by the Jewish Big Brother organizations. And they will be punished or rewarded according to how much they favor Israel and its goals. Not how much they do for America, but what have you done for Israel? That's the only question asked by ADL and AIPAC. All right? Dominate the political agenda, and they do. Read the book, The Jewish Lobby. Well, the fourth pillar of Zog, the Zionist Occupational Government, is that they retain effective control of the media, television, radio, the print media, that's books, other publishing, newspapers, and the internet. Now, the internet is the only medium that has even a glimmer of truth to it. And it's tainted because there are so many fake government provocateur websites controlled by the Israeli Mossad, the CIA, and the FBI, and other allied propaganda organs. But there still are a few sites like ourpowerofprophecy.com that tell the truth. At the same time, there are a few people on internet radio and even shortwave radio still telling the truth. How long can we stay in business? I don't know. I know they're already ginning up new laws to start policing the internet. And they much want to close down shortwave radio. How long can we stay operating? I don't know. We shall see. But don't expect to see changes in ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox News, and so forth. They are totally controlled by the Jewish Zionist billionaires. Just recently, Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews had their wrists slapped at MSNBC. Would you like to know why? Keith Olbermann was demoted, and so was Chris Matthews at MSNBC. Why? Because Mr. Olbermann made a commentary in which he said at the Republican National Convention they played the 9/11 card. They had a little film at the RNC, the Republican National Convention, in which they showed, you know, the World Trade Center towers going down and basically said, you know, vote for John McCain. He can protect us from these Arab Islamic terrorists. Keith Olbermann says they're trying to play the 9/11 card. Yeah, That did him in. They have demoted Mr. Olbermann. He still has his program, but he cannot be the commentator anymore for live TV. And his program is watched. His commentaries will now have to go through the Jewish censors at MSNBC. And so will Mr. Chris Matthews. You see, they don't want 9/11 truth to get out. And this is very important to them. Now, they retain effective control of the media. And this is one of the pillars of Zog. A fifth pillar, and it's part of this control of the media, is that they use the media, and they use every organ that they can to control debate over truth in three important areas. These are three important areas I want you to know about. The Jews, Zog, the Zionist Occupational Government, works to control debate of truth. In other words, they do not wish the truth to come upon these three issues. They're fanatics about these three issues. Here they are. 9/11. The 9/11 truth movement is like poison to these people. They know if the American people are to discover that 9/11 was an inside job and it was planned by rogue elements of the CIA, rogue elements of the FBI, and of the Israeli Mossad spy agency, all working with the Bush-Cheney White House. If the American people found out about it, the jig would be up. I mean, there would be a cleaning of the house of the American political world. It'd be all over for them. They've got to stop the 9/11 truth movement. And so they put 9/11 truth in the same category as Holocaust deniers. If you say 9/11 was an inside job, or you suggest that Israel did it, or the CIA or FBI or Bush, Cheney, White House masterminded that whole horrible scheme, those mass murders on 9/11, they will say, oh, conspiracy nut, fringe, wacko. Worse than Holocaust denier. We've got to be stopped. You remember Michael Reagan, his radio program. He's one of these Jewish, Judaic promoters. Michael Reagan said of one 9/11 truther, Mark Dice, he said, we need to shoot him. We need to kill him. He called for the assassination of Mr. Mark Dice. What did Mark Dice do? He told people 9/11 is not true what they're telling us. We need to get the truth out. And Michael Reagan says, we cannot allow this. Kill that man. Assassinate him. Yeah, they want to kill you and me because we know the truth about 9/11. Before we expose them further. Now, I have something here that's very interesting. This is from Reuters news agency. Reuters is one of the largest news agencies in the world, it and the Associated Press. This story just came out today. It was entitled, Global Poll Shows No Consensus on Who Was Behind September 11th. Listen to this, friends. And I read to you, Dateline Washington. 7 years after the September 11th attacks, there is no consensus outside the United States that Islamic militants from Al-Qaeda were responsible, according to an international poll published today. This is September the 10th. Actually, this is dated. Think about that. The whole world believes that 9/11 was an inside job by America and Israel. The whole world, in a global poll that was taken, they don't believe it. It says here, the survey of 16,000 people in 17 nations found majorities believe that it was not Islamic militants who did 9/11. The majority of people around the world say, you did it, America, you and Israel, so that you could have your big brother police state, so you could carry on your New World Order wars, so that you could gain the oil for yourself, invade Afghanistan and Iraq. You're a bunch of liars, American Israel. The whole world knows it. But the American media say, you dare not say such things. How dare you even question 9/11? The whole world knows what the American media refused to tell America. They have a free press in Russia. I never thought I'd be saying that in my lifetime. I'm 64 years old. I never thought I'd say there's freedom of press in Russia more than the United States. But there is. The Jews don't run the American press. They run American press. And we cannot tell the truth here in America or you'll be punished. Now, the second way they control debate over truth is that nothing but political correctness is acceptable as far as environmentalism. I was watching CNN last night. And Campbell Brown, who hosts the election campaign every night, somebody dared to say that global warming may not be true. And she liked to went gaga. She went nuts. She said, we're not even going to discuss that. That's already been settled. There's not one scientist in the whole world that doesn't believe in global warming. Well, her guest, Miss Babe Buchanan, said, wait just a minute. There's plenty of scientists that don't believe in global warming. Oh, no, no, we're not going to even talk about that. We're not going to open up that. That is impossible. And then she had her other guest, this Jewish guy, Jeffrey Toobin. He was going, ho, 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 you don't believe in global warming. Ho, 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 you must be some kind of a crazy maniac. Ho, 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 ho. Everybody believes in global warming. It's not even, it can't even be debated. Well, you're worse than a Holocaust denier if you don't accept global warming. Now, it doesn't matter, friends, if the four largest weather organizations in the world, including our own NASA Space Organization, say that we're in a period of global cooling. There is no global warming. That doesn't matter. You've got to believe what the Jewish media tell you. And why do they want us to believe in global warming? Control. They want to control us. And then, of course, that mean old thing called oil causes global warming. They've got to restrict your use of oil. And they can't let you drill for oil because that's what causes global warming. So you can't drill in America, and you've got to depend on Middle East oil. There's a circular thing going on here. Now, in controlling this debate over truth, the third thing I mentioned is the Holocaust. You've got to believe in the Holocaust. You've got to believe the Germans did it. You got to believe that there are exactly 6 million Jews and that really there are no other victims but Jews. There were no Christians. There were no German patriots that fought Hitler. Only the Jews suffered in World War II. You got to believe that. And 6 million. It can't be 400,000. It can't be 5,999,999. It's got to be 6 million or you're a Holocaust denier. And we've got to pity the Jews for this forever and ever. Now, it happened 63 years ago, they say. Actually, it ended in 1945, 63 years ago. But it must be remembered forever because they need pity and they need sympathy and they need reparations and they need the United States to protect them from another big bad Holocaust that they claim will happen tomorrow or today or in the next 5 minutes. You've got to believe in the Holocaust. And only that is truth. The sixth pillar of Zog and how they're able to wield power and dominate America and thus the world is that they intend to retain control of the United States intelligence, defense, homeland security, and law enforcement agencies and institutions. Think about that. Intel, all the spy groups, the defense, that's all the military, the homeland security, the law enforcement agencies, FBI, and others, all of these must be directed so that they will do what is advantageous to the overarching Zionist Israeli project. For example, it's very important to them that illegal immigration be kept up, that we be invaded from people all over the world. Why? It dilutes America's race. So we become a multinational country. But everything, our intelligence, our defense, our homeland security, our law enforcement, everything must be used for the good of Israel. That's one of the pillars. And that's why the Marine Corps Commandant is now a Jew. The Air Force Chief of Staff is now a Jew. The general in charge of our forces over in Afghanistan and Iraq is Petraeus, a Jew. The Jews run the United States military today. They fired most of the good officers, got rid of them that weren't Jewish. The Jews make up less than 0.5% of our American military, but they are now controlling the top positions in the military. Oh, yes. Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff. It goes on and on. Even the Justice Department, Mr. Mukasey, Attorney General, a Jew. Jew, 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 Jew. And let me tell you something, friends. You've got Big Brother control if you control the intelligence, military defense, homeland security, law enforcement agencies. You've got total Big Brother control, and they have it. The seventh pillar of control by Zog, the Zionist occupational government, is that they wish to continue operating as a parasitic, metastatic virus throughout the financial and economic community. Why? Because they direct these financial, these money resources in such a way as to enrich and promote Jewish interest. And they also wield financial power over all Gentile nations. They have the ability, because they control Wall Street and the New York Stock Exchange and the Chicago Commodities Exchanges, they have the ability, just like a virus that's found its way in and is now like a cancer, a parasite, a virus, working its way through the entire banking and financial and economic communities, making sure that Israel and the Jews are enriched and the Gentiles have money taken away from them. And now they have the power to bring down America and make the masses fall to their knees. We become a slave population of Zog. Now the eighth and final pillar. The eighth and final pillar. They work through all of these resources to undermine American patriotism and nationalism. How do they do it? Here's two ways. They foster illegal immigration. Did you know that in the Protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion, a book we offer to you, and you can buy it through this ministry, we're one of the few in the whole world that offer it, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which has their agenda, they say all borders must be erased, must evaporate. So we will have illegal immigration and open borders. This is why John McCain is for open borders. This is why Obama is for open borders. This is why our border is like a sieve. This is why if Border Patrol agents try to do their job, they end up in prison. This undermines American patriotism and nationalism. And it brings in, we already have 35 to 40 million illegal immigrants in America. And they're bringing in something called multiculturalism. Christian values out the window. And ask your Mexican illegal immigrant, ask your Paraguayan or El Salvadorian or Pakistani or Chinese illegal immigrant, ask them who George Washington and Thomas Jefferson are. Ask them about the Bill of Rights. They don't know. They came here for money. They don't care. Those are just dead white men. George Washington, dead white man. John Adams, dead white man. Patrick Henry, dead white man. Illegal immigration and multiculturalism is destroying the American body politic, and we're becoming nothing but a bunch of little bitty broken eggshell yolks around this world. We're nothing now. We're not a nation anymore because we're not one people anymore. There is no melting pot. There's a zillion little bitty cooking vessels going on, and none of them have to link. And we have Muslim parents killing their children because they convert to Christianity right here in America even. Horrible things occurring. These then, friends, are the eight pillars of Zog. How they're wielding power, dominating America, and through America, the whole world. This is the battleground. We're it, and we've got to fight this. Don't harm any Jew. Never, never, never. But tell the truth. Overthrow them through truth and education. It's your mission in life, friends, and mine. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.